Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Age of Heroes, I am proud to bring you Champion of Olympus, Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic and looking forward to what you have to share. I was intrigued. I, too, have found myself in positions where I've been doing something and I wasn't even aware that I was doing it. So,
right. Well, so, you know, here, I can't remember exactly when it was that we talked about it, but recently one of the conversations that we had, which I think bears repeating in a situation like this, so that way people can understand how we're going to get from one location to the next. So
okay.
One of the reasons that I'm fascinated whenever it comes to bodybuilding and so the physical exercise that we go through, I know a lot of people, they go through and they start a fitness program because, you know, let's say they want to lose weight. They want to feel better about their, you know, their physical appearance. They want to be healthier. And all these things, they're all very valuable tools. And as we go through and as we're developing, as we're going through and we're lifting weights, one of the things that comes, one of the benefits that comes from lifting heavier weights or what we will call manageable heavy. So whenever you go through and you're lifting these weights, what you're doing is you're putting your body through intense physical pain. So because what we're actually doing whenever you're going through and you're lifting these weights, what you're actually doing is you're causing these little micro tears in your muscles, and then the body will go through, and if you have a high protein diet, then your body is going to go through and it's going to use this protein that you are consuming to help heal your muscles. And so this is the reason why after someone has gone through a surgery, that's one of the things that they'll do when they're recovering in the hospital is they put them on a very high protein diet, because protein is going to go through and it's going to speed that healing up. So whenever you go through and you work out really hard, what you're going to do is that soreness that you're experiencing, it's your body going through and recovering from all these little micro tears. So also as we're going through and we're working out, our body is developing this lactic acid in the muscle. Lactic acid is basically what causes fatigue. So it's the reason why you just can't lift indefinitely, because that it's going to take time for that lactic acid to pump out of your body. So while you're doing that, so if you have to imagine the body as a series of systems, and so you're going through and you're lifting these weights, and as you're lifting these weights, it hurts. So the body does not like this pain. We try to avoid it as much as possible. So the body goes through and it starts sending these signals up to the brain because it's in panic mode because you're sitting there putting yourself through this physical pain. And so the body wants you to stop. And so the muscles are screaming to the brain, hey, he's putting us in pain and we don't like this. And the brain will kick back to the muscles going, yeah, I know, I'm telling him to stop. And he's just going to, he keeps lifting. He won't stop. And so the muscles are starting to get frustrated. And so they're threatening the brain going, well, you better do something or we're going to protest. So the brain says, okay, no, that's fine. I'll take care of it. So that's when the brain will go through and it releases these endorphins in order to help mitigate that pain. So the pain is still there, but your brain is going through and masking that pain that your muscles are going through. Now, the important thing about these endorphins that are being released, one is that chemically it's very similar to morphine, but the difference is that it's naturally occurring and it doesn't diminish over time. So a lot of times whenever you're taking, you know, pain medications, you know, you have to go through and slowly start increasing the dosage because you're not getting that same level as you were whenever you first started taking it. Well, that's not the case with these endorphins that our brain is generating. And so the great thing about these chemicals that your body is presenting is that they can cause you to look at life through a certain pair of rose-colored glasses. You tend to, you become much more calm, and you become much more optimistic. And so it goes through. So while you can go through and you can work out, and you may gain, you know, that satisfaction of seeing, you know, the pounds starting to melt off or the muscles starting to develop. So and that's part of it as well. But what you're mainly going through is this sense of euphoria that you are experiencing by going through and lifting these weights. So in bodybuilding, it's often referred to as the pump. Runners can get it. It's referred to as the runner's high. But it is this flood of endorphins that just makes you feel absolutely awesome. And so in one of the conversations that we had, the idea that I was presenting was that if you are, if you're in a, I have to be careful here whenever I use my terminology, because I don't want your listeners, I want them to understand there's a very serious difference between people that are sad and between people that are depressed. And so whenever I don't want to use the word depressed, or if I do use the word depressed, what I'm talking about is clinical depression. Whereas opposed to, you know, general sadness or what I would refer to as situational depression. You've got a bad job. You've got a bad home life. Okay, so if we can go through and if we can fix where we can get you a better job or we can fix your home life, then you're not going to be depressed. So I feel that that's different from clinical depression. So these people that are suffering from, and we have all gone through this with COVID and the strains that has put on us by being isolated and away from our friends and away from our family and away from our coworkers. So the idea that I was presenting was, okay, so let's go in and let's get in the gym. Let's go through and let's lift these weights. And then what we'll do is we'll kind of kickstart our brain into thinking, yes, it's almost a fake it until we make it type thing. Well, let's go through and let's see if we can kickstart these endorphins from a place where we're doing it from working out, and so that way we'll go through so instead of the mind running the body, we'll flip it and we'll make the body run the mind. And so by going through and doing this, that was that key that I was able to unlock. There was the secret that I wanted to share with so many people, that if you decide to go in and start a program, and I hope that everyone does, but by going through and doing that, well, it's not so you can get shredded. It's not so you can get buff or, you know, and if you can, that's absolutely fantastic. But to me, that's kind of the icing on the proverbial cake, where really what I want you to do is I want you to develop a sense of wellness. I want you to develop a sense of optimism. And so that can come from going through and working out. And this is not just my theories. There are, you know, clinical psychiatrists who have gone through and they've done these studies, and that's what they found, is that by going through and working out, or by putting people who are feeling depressed, okay, before we put you on any sort of mind-altering medication, let's put you on an exercise program first, and they've seen dramatic improvement in that, within that realm. So I'm a firm believer in going through and working out. And then I know you and I have had a brief conversation that really picked my interest. And, you know, so I was like, okay, so I'm curious to see what all he's talking about. And so when we started talking about meditation.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever you go through and you talk about meditation, I think that everyone, they look at you a little strangely, you know, because it hasn't made its way into mainstream yet. I think it's certainly getting there. There is a correspondent for ABC News. His name is Dan Harris, and he is a very big advocate of meditation. And so what he was saying is that if he was going to go through and do some prognosticating, he thinks eventually we're going to get to that point where, you know, we do our things like we go to the doctor, we take our meds, you know, we brush our teeth, we do these things, and then we also need to go through and do a little bit of meditation in order to stimulate that gray matter that's, you know, bouncing around up there in our brains. And so we had talked a little bit about it, and so then thankfully we are in this era of a tremendous knowledge if you know where to look. And so it's all right there at your fingertips. So I went through, and after my conversation with you, I went through and started doing a little bit more research when it comes to meditation. So when people talk about meditation, I do think that there is that everyone assumes that you have to be, you know, in a Buddhist monk's robe and you're sitting in the lotus position, you know, with your arms, you know, down there by your sides where you're making the symbols with your hands and you're chanting Om, you know. And I think that's what a lot of people think it is. And while certainly that is a form of it, that is not the only type of meditation that's out there. So me being, I was born in 1974, and so one of my biggest fandoms of all time is Star Wars. So it's just, you know, just slightly below the Marvel Cinematic Universe at this point. So I grew up with Star Wars. I absolutely loved it. And so there's a line in The Phantom Menace when it's a bad example because they're the bad guys, but Darth Sidious tells Darth Maul, he advises him, because he says, you know, this is a strange maneuver for her. He's talking about the queen. And he said, this is a strange maneuver for her. And he says, Lord Maul, be mindful. And that really is this essence that you're trying to get to with meditation, is you're trying to be mindful. And so in the way it was explained to me, that really let me soak it all in and really start to understand it. It's not about not thinking. I know that's what a lot of people assume. Oh, it's, you know, your brain just goes empty and you don't think about anything. And that's physically impossible. You can't do it because we are our thoughts.
Right.
But instead, what they wanted to do is they wanted us to be mindful. And so being mindful means not regretting what has happened in the past and not worrying about what is going to happen in the future. It's being worried about the here and now. And so if we can go through and not necessarily calm our thoughts, what it's more along the lines of is being hyper-focused. It's not letting your mind go blank. It's instead, it's finding this deep, deep focus that allows you to focus on the here and now. So one of the things that they talk about is how men and women are tremendously different. But we're also tremendously similar. So we're basically, we're two hands that are held up, you know, beside each other. And so we look very similar, but one's the right hand and one's the left. And so what men have this tremendous ability to do is we have the ability to go through and find that laser focus. We can block out everything. Whereas women are much more gifted when it comes to multitasking. So, but if you can take these two different components and put them together, then you've got something that's really strong. So I do think as men, we are hardwired to have that intense mental focus to block everything else, out. So there was a gentleman who had a video on YouTube. His name is Damien Eccles. And so he did a very short little video about guided meditation. And the meditation that he went through was what he called the prison cell. So in the prison cell, the way he went through and he described it, you're in a very small room and everything is all painted. Everything is white. Floor is white. Walls are white. And the only thing in this room besides you is a window. But it's a very narrow window and it's high up on the wall. And so the only way that you can go through and reach that window is for you to step up to the wall, reach your hands as far up as you can, and then you're able to grasp the edge of the window sill with your fingertips. And then only through intense physical strength, you're able to go through, grip the edges of that window, and pull yourself up so you can look out of that window. And as you do, bright, white, consuming light flashes over your eyes and consumes everything that you can possibly see. So you hold in that position for as long as you can, and then you imagine yourself dropping back down. So then he was saying that to go through and perform these pull-ups every single time, or as many times as you need to, and the more times that you can do it, the more mentally focused you will become. So he's sitting here and he's describing everything, and it's almost the way that he goes through and he describes it, it's almost fairly hypnotic in his description. And so he's, you know, describing all the different elements. So, and so imagine you, your fingertips and what the stone feels like of the wall that you're in. And then you go through and he describes going through and pulling yourself up so you can look out through this window. And so you can feel it all in your lats. You can feel it all in your chest and in your stomach as you're going through and you're straining to pull yourself up. And then you look through and that white light comes through and floods with you.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's going through and he's describing all this. And as he is, I can feel that. But what he sets the stage very well. And then, but so as a lifter, as someone who's gone through and has done those pull-ups, I can feel it in, you know, in his description. So I can feel it in my lats. I can feel it in my back. I can feel the strain in my arms, even though it's just, you know, just sitting there listening to him talk about it. So applying the first part of all this. So now I want to go through and I want to apply that to this second part.
Okay.
And so we have been in that moment. And we've been there by lifting the weights. We've been there by going through and doing those pull-ups. And so one of the things that I have preached to anyone who will listen is that when I go into the gym, everything, we all have our problems. I get it. It's problems at work, problems at home, problem with the spouse, problem with the girlfriend, problem with the kids. You know, just life in general, COVID, politics, my goodness, it's all, I mean, and then we're sitting there on our phones that is just constantly delivering us bad news. And so I understand sometimes it can feel somewhat hopeless. But for that hour a day that I go into that gym, that's my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I get to go through, lock everything away. You know, so I've locked everything away, and so this is my time where I'm just going to go through and focus on me. There's nothing but the weight, and the weight is the great equalizer because the weight doesn't care about your ego. Either you lift it or you don't. The weight doesn't care. It's just you versus the weight. So within that moment, for that 45 seconds to 60 seconds that I'm going through and I'm doing my reps, and I'm really concentrating in, I mean, like really focused in on those muscle groups. The way I like to describe it is, so there's a white light that's shining all over your body, but it's through a big giant flashlight. And that flashlight has an iris that you can go through and tighten. So that way the light, it becomes more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sitting there and you're doing your bicep curls, right? And you've got that light and it is just focused purely on your biceps. That's all you're concerned about getting that maximum contraction. And then when you pull it up to the top and then you flex, you know, to really get that really great pump. So that's all you're focused on in that moment. And when you're in there, there are no more problems. I mean, they're still going to be there when you get done. But for an hour a day, you get to lock all that out and you get to solely focus on you. So then going back to what Mr. Eccles was describing in his meditation, that's when I was like, wait a minute, then that means I've been meditating for 8 years and didn't even realize it because it within that moment, here's what we're moving towards. We're moving towards that moment where all we're focused on is being mindful of the here and the now. And so because now sometimes you go through and you're lifting that heavy weight and that's all you can think about. That's all your body is consumed with is going through and getting that weight lifted because if not, it's going to crash back down to your chest and you're going to be pinned. And so it's like, oh, so man, I've got to get this lifted. You know, it's kind of like when they talk about my daughter suffers from asthma. And so when she goes through and she has an asthma attack, all she's concerned with is getting that next breath. That's the only thing that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to go through and put ourselves in that position where we can block out every single thing by going through and lifting those heavy weights. So what I would suggest to someone is that if they're interested in meditation, if they're interested about being mindful, because you can sit there and so if you don't really know what you're doing or you're not certain you know, it's like, oh, well, did I reach this place of nirvana? I don't know because I don't know what that feels like. And I'm supposed to be sitting here and not thinking my thoughts. And so I don't know what this is supposed to look like. So I don't know if I am meditating whenever I'm sitting here or if I'm not meditating at all. You know, how do I know if I'm doing it right since it's all this mental thing? So that's when I said, okay, well, now let's just let's apply the same lesson that we established in the first part here, but now let's establish it through physical movement. So now we're going to go through and we are going to find ourselves in that similar position that was described with the prison cell. But instead, by going through and doing it in this way, you're able to physically find you're able to find the place mentally that you need to go through by doing it through physical action. Because within that physical action, so then I think once you get to a point where now that you've experienced that moment where you are experiencing that max contraction and you're doing everything you can to either keep that weight, you know, pulled down or pushed up and you're doing everything you can, that's where you can come along and you say, oh, wait, this is that moment. This is that moment of bliss that they're sitting here talking about. So now let's go through, now that we know what we're looking for, now that we know that goal that we're attempting to achieve, what we can do is we can go through and eventually we can get to a point where we can get there without even needing the weight, because then we know what we're looking for. It's easier for us to find. Because now, yeah, I've experienced this before. Okay, so now let's remove the weight. Now let's go through and let's find this mindfulness. And we can do that when we're sitting at our desk at work and, even if we're, sitting at home, or preferably not when you're in the car driving. That would not be a good place to try to not think any thoughts. But so then we're able to go through and find this mindness by reverse engineering it by doing it through the weights first.
Right. The book that you referred to from the newscaster, is that 10% Happier?
Yeah, I believe it could be. The video that I saw was with Dan Harris. So I'm not certain which book that was.
Because he was a famous person on TV, a newscaster of some sort, and he wrote a book called 10% Happier. And he talked about his journey to find meditation, and he stuck with the simple mindfulness meditation and found that if you just do that, not that your life becomes easier, but you can handle it better, and you'll get around 10% happier. So that's how the title of the book came.
Right, and so whenever he – well, so again, because he has that tremendous newscaster voice, as you are going to be. If you're going to be on Good Morning America, yeah, you're going to have, you've got the goods, basically. So in this video that I was watching, they threw up, quite a few people. And whenever he showed up, of course, naturally I listened, because he's able to present his ideas in such a way that where it's going to make sense. And he's got that great, newscaster voice. So I was like, oh, hey, I know that guy. And so, yeah, just doing a quick little Google search here. Yeah, 10% Happier is the name of his book.
Okay. What you were talking about, knowing and remembering, those are very important parts of meditation. There's a technique called the Silva method, or it used to be called Silva mind control, but now mind control has different connotations than it had when the term first came out, and they're sinister, so they changed it to the Silva method, where you do these backward counting exercises and breathing exercises. And eventually you get into the alpha state, which is where you're very suggestible and where by using images and repeated words, you could affect change. And after a while, you learn how to enter the alpha level of the brain. Like our waking level is beta. We have beta brainwave patterns when we're awake, and when we're asleep, we have alpha, delta, theta, and other ones. But alpha is the meditative state. So you're taught to enter the meditative state, and if you get good at it, you can do it from a backward count from 5 or 3. And you know that you succeeded because you recognize the state, just like you were describing. And yes, it's very true. I when I work out, that's my meditation. And when I used to work out very heavy, my brain is very attention deficit disordered. It hops all over the place continuously. But when you're trying to balance phenomenally heavy weight and not get injured, you have to have that laser focus. So even if you don't have that laser focus, as you describe normally, and I usually have it when I'm working on a particular project, you'll get it really fast if one wrong move and you could really injure yourself or kill yourself. So yes, you get that type of meditative state and that type of concentration and focus from lifting weights.
And I think that's an absolutely great point that you brought up about maintaining that sharp mental focus. And I think that that's the reason why, you know, they say it takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years in order for you to graduate from becoming a gym novice in order to be maybe not necessarily an expert in the gym, but to you get to a point where you start to understand how everything is working. And I think the difference between the novice is that they go through and they read a program and they say, okay, well, we want you to do these exercises. And you do those exercises. Why? Because someone told you to. But then you go through, and then once you start to understand, you start to elevate your gym IQ, then you're starting to understand why they want you to do this, to perform these things. And so one of the things that I've tried to go in with the mindset of, if it doesn't suck, we don't do it. And so there are times where it's going to hurt, man. You know, there are times where, it's tough to do, but if it's tough to do, that means it's working. That means you're going to go through and you're going to gain results. So whenever I advocate for heavyweight lifting, although for what I'm attempting to do right now in my current training state is I'm trying to lose fat and not so much gain in mass. So in order for me to do that, what I have to do is it's higher reps with a lower weight. But just because it's a low weight doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So it's kind of one of those things where I always, you know, suggest to someone it's manageable heavy is the term that I was taught. And I think that's a great example, because if you go through and, you know, and if you do reps and it's really easy, you're not really doing anything. So you have to kind of push yourself into that area where, oh man, this is going to hurt. Yeah, I know, but results lie on the other side of that pain. And so by going through and lifting heavy like that, yes, you're absolutely right. We have to go through and you have to maintain that sharp mental focus, or yes, you could very easily get hurt and you could get seriously hurt. So I do think finding that focus, finding that level that you get to where all you're focused on is just right now, right in the here and now of going through and lifting that weight, I think that is that, I don't know if the term transcendental, I don't know if that's the right term, but where you get to that state where everything all just wipes out around you and that's all you're focused on. And so to be able to do that as I'm sure it's kind of one of those things, it's just like developing any other muscles where you're able to, you have to teach yourself how to be able to do this. And the more experience that you do with it, you know, but eventually then the better you're going to get at it. And so, yeah, you'll be able to get there. Yeah. So there may be some people that are in the novice stage and they have to count down from 25, but then, like you said, then you can go to 5, you can go to 3, and then boom, you can be in that state.
Yeah.
Because so they were talking about these, you know, these meditators who are able to go into the gamma level of their brainwave function, but they can do it because they have been meditating for, you know, literally thousands upon thousands of hours. And so I was sitting there going, okay, well, man, you know, 1,000 hours, that sure is a whole lot of time. But then I was like, well, no, wait a minute, hang on. I've been, you know, doing this for 8 years. And so let's say if I've been working out for, you know, 365 days, you know, a year for an hour a day. Okay. So, so it's probably realistic to say that, yes, I've been going through and I've been lifting weights and finding this meditative state for, you know, for hundreds of hours where I'm going through and finding, but I'm doing it in these bursts that last from anywhere from 45 seconds to 60 seconds, because that's, you know, the amount of lifts that I'm doing.
Yeah. Again, once you realize that you've been doing it, then it becomes a lot easier to apply it. Like, for instance, one of the things I do that I've shared is you're familiar with Jack Kirby, correct? Is a graphic novel. He has a certain way of drawing, like Olympus and Asgard and where the Eternals live on Olympia, and in his other cosmic comics, where he has this cosmic technology.
Uh-huh.
And the way he draws it, I've imagined a place in my meditations that's a gym set in the Kirby-esque universe. And in my meditation, I'll go work out in the Kirby gym, and I only need to do like a few reps of any particular exercise because the machine will pit me against epic levels of resistance. And not every single time, but most times, after a little while of that, it feels like I've had a monster workout, like my muscles are aching. So the mind is
absolutely
a very powerful thing.
And that's where I do think it is. So they say that that your mind is about 50% of it. So you get to a point where you're going physically, and once you say you're done, you're probably only really about 50% done. You still got another 50%, but your mind goes through and convinces you that you're finished. And
right. This
is where I think it's important to go through. Now, you can push too hard. I think you can go, you know, completely in the other direction. And this is where I think you have to be able to listen to your central nervous system to really begin to know when you're really starting to push too far past your limits. You know, it's funny. In one of the books that I'm reading right now, they're discussing Aristotle, and so he had what he called the golden mean. And in the golden mean, it's basically the best way I know how to describe it is imagine you're standing on a seesaw or on a teeter totter, and you're in the middle of it. And what you're trying to do is you don't want either side to dip too far one way or the other. So you don't want to have too much courage, because if you have too much courage, then you'll charge blindly into a dangerous situation when really you need to keep your head about you. But the same way, you don't want the other side to dip down too far as well, because then you'll start to delve down into cowardice and you'll never do anything. And so you have to find this happy balance between everything. And so all of our lives are meant to go through and be this golden mean. And so in going through and doing this, this is where you can't let any one thing go through and completely take over your life. So I understand that, and I'm attempting to bring that into my own life to find the proper balance of, you know, it's like I don't want to work too hard, but then at the same time, you know, I don't want to be lazy as well. But I know if I go through, and so I'm in the middle of three different writing projects right now it's taking up the majority of my free time. After I get done here with you, that's probably one of the things I'm going to do before I go to bed is to go through and work a little bit more on these writing projects that I'm doing. And so what I've found is that back whenever I got one of my first comic book writing jobs, it was a fairly large book. It was somewhere around, I can't remember, it was either 64 or 80 pages is what the book was going to be. So I went through and I wanted to distract myself. I didn't want any distractions. So I went through, I unhooked my Xbox. You know, I did things to make sure that, hey, this is all I'm going to do is work. And I learned the hard way that you can only wring so much water out of the sponge that is your brain in a certain time. Because then it was like I had taken the SATs. You know, I was brain drained. And so, but instead what I found, and so I implemented this today, it's a federal holiday, so I'm lucky I was able to be home from work. So I'm going through and I'm working on these writing projects, but it's not something that's done from 8 to 5. You know, it's instead done in these little bursts. And so it's okay. So I'm going to edit this chapter. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to do, I'm going to fold some laundry. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do another chapter again. So it's a little bit all throughout the day. And then I went through to make sure that I had time to go through and get my workout in. And so it's unfortunately it wasn't great because I had slept in a little bit late since I didn't have to have the alarm for work. And the gym was crowded and you know, there were too many people there. So I wasn't able to do everything that I did, but still, you know, it's like, well, okay, that's okay. There's another workout, you know, coming tomorrow. But even just going through and getting done a little bit where, yeah, you don't have to be in the gym for, you know, 4 hours a day. You can go in and, you know, and just get, you know, 45 minutes, but hopefully you're able to do an hour. But then after leaving, coming back, getting cleaned up, and then I was ready to come in and sit down, you know, and start my work. So it's a thing where I'm trying to find that balance in all things. And but going through and working out, that's something that has tremendously improved my outlook.
Yes, most certainly. So I'm involved in some writing projects too. I know exactly what you're going through, and I have to balance a lot of other things as well. So it's a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and fit in the workout and fit in the research I need to do. And it's very challenging, but it fills up the day and it gets things accomplished.
Right. And so what you said right there, it's the perfect dovetail into the other topic that I wanted to talk about, and that's in going through and finding this mental focus in order to improve your life. And so Schwarzenegger has a great quote. I'd butcher it here if I tried to you know, quote it word for word, but basically what he was saying was, you can have the best ship in the world, but if you don't know where you're going, you just get tossed around the ocean and you just go wherever the current takes you. So what you have to do is you have to have a plan. You have to have that plan in order for you to go through and get focused. And so one of the things that my New Year's resolution this year, one of the ones that I did, I have committed myself to where I'm going to do 365 miles worth of cardio in 2022. And so it's supposed to be a mile a day, but there have been times where if I can't make it to the gym, or if, you know, hey, if I decide I'm going to take this day off, here back in early February, we got hit with a pretty bad snowstorm, snow and ice. And so as a result, I just said, you know, hey, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to save my car. I'm not going to go through and risk it. And so that put me a little bit behind the eight ball. So I had to go through and get caught back up for those days that I missed. But so I went through and like the geeky office guy that I am, I went through and I've designed a spreadsheet so that way I can go through and I can keep track of my totals. And by going through, and it's pretty similar to what I did. I want to say it was back in October. I was part of a charity walk that I did for domestic abuse awareness. And so in going through and doing those miles for that charity, I found myself with drive. I found myself with a reason to go, you know, just, hey, let's go just a little bit more. Let's get just a little bit, you know, we'll go, you know, another tenth of a mile just so that way we can, you know, add it to the totals. And so by going through and doing that, and so by now copying it here for 2022 and going through and giving myself a written down total of how far I've gone, you know, both in January and then I cut it off. So even if I got extra, even if I did more than 30 miles in January, I said, okay, those are going to count towards my total at the end, but that doesn't count for February. So in February, I've got to go through and I've got to get my 28 miles. And so by going through and doing that, you know, I'm adding those totals up. I'm doing these things. So that's going through and helping me out. What I've also found is that when it comes to working out, going through and developing a plan and developing a goal is going to help you stay committed to your fitness journey, because instead of just walking in and going, well, I don't know, I guess I'll do shoulders today, or, you know, I mean, I guess I'll go through and I'll do legs. You know, by going through and having a plan from the very beginning, it goes through and it helps improve your performance. It gives you a goal. It gives you something to shoot for. And you know what you're going to do the second that you walk into the gym. Okay, I'm going to do this amount of cardio, and then I'm going to do these series of exercises. And so, yeah, what you pointed out, it's absolutely, there's a lot of stuff that's going through and bombarding us right now. Is, you know, it's everyone has to go through, and, you know, we've got work, we've got a sleep, you know, we've got, you know, relationships with our friends and our families, but you still need to go through and find that time to carve out that personal little time for you where you can go through and block everyone out. And so that way you can find that, that mindfulness that we've been looking for, the mindfulness that the Jedi said that we were supposed to achieve. And, you know, so by going through and doing that, I do think that that's one of the best things that you can do to improve your life here in the immediate. Where, so if you can go through and if you can find that exercise program, that meditative exercise that you're doing, the cardio, all things like that, that's where it goes through and it improves your life. And the more that you do that, the more you become addicted to that. I think it's a tremendously good thing. There's a lot of other things out there that are nightmarishly worse that you could be addicted to. But to go through and to find this self-improvement, I think it is a wonderful base upon which to build your house. And so I know when like a lot of people, they make these snap judgments when they see people at the gym. Even though it's become much more of an inclusive thing, people just go, they want to go and work out, you know, because they're like me. They're sitting behind a desk either at their job or they have a profession where, you know, or they have a hobby where for me is my writing. So I'm going through here and I'm sitting, you know, behind a desk because I'm doing my writing. I'm sitting behind a desk while I'm doing my work. So it's good for me to go out and improve my life through these physical things that because there's no more wolves at the gate. There's no more enemies to be, you know, conquered. So we're not running for our lives from saber-toothed tigers.
Right.
So we have to find a way to go through and improve ourselves physically. And so I think a lot of people can look at that and they go, oh, you know, look at this guy. He's over there flexing in the mirror. You know, oh, he must, you know, be in love with himself. When really it's the exact opposite in that whenever you go through and you're flexing in the mirror, what you're looking for are these flaws. You know, so from someone that's on the outside looking in, that's all they're going to see is, oh, these, you know, these big sweaty guys in there flexing. I bet you're all a bunch of dumb meatheads. You know, so people make those snap judgments, but then once they get in, so that's always something that I'm trying to stress to people. Again, it's not that I think you need to lose weight. It's not that I think, you know, it's, you need to get healthier. What I want people to experience is the joy and the amount of the improvement in your self-confidence and the improvement in the outlook that you're going to carry through life by going through and working out. And so that's where I think a lot of people, they find it, you know, somewhat strange where it's, so wait a minute, I'm going to be happier because I'm going through and putting myself through pain and lifting weights. That makes absolutely no sense. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but yeah, I come out from it and I'm feeling better. I feel better about myself. I have more energy, which is the other strange thing that I think people don't understand. And so that's one of the things that I like coming on here and talking with you about. I know you get it, and I hope that the listeners do as well. Or at the very least, if they're listening to this and they're on the fence as far as, well, you know, should I go through and should I start an exercise program? Hopefully this is motivation that they need in order to start something like that.
Yes, that's my hope as well. And no one that we have on the shows, on the Mythic Physique show anyway, we have other shows where we do have people of doctor degrees or they're doctors. But we're people who are committed to a particular journey. We have a lot of the same goals and we're learning from each other and freely sharing our journeys. Everyone here has admitted that what works doesn't always work and that they're always looking for ways to improve and that you have to let go of things as much as acquire things in order to change. And that's very true of the information that we're constantly seeking to use to guide our workouts. So given the fact that the experts don't even agree on things, I think this is a very valuable thing we do because a lot of people get discouraged because they have access to information that isn't accurate or is very misleading. And then they don't get the results.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't look like The Rock after 4 weeks of doing The Rock's program or eating what The Rock eats, and they get very discouraged. In truth, you know, the Rock has been doing what he's been doing for decades. So you're not going to get The Rock's results, even if you had the same body type as The Rock. Those are the expectations, and you have a lot of influencers now too, that it's like, do these simple things, these handful of simple things, or eat this particular thing, or stop eating that particular thing, and all of a sudden you magically transform into a bodybuilding magazine model. And again, that isn't true.
Right. And I think that's where one of the big warnings, and so again, going back to one of the statements that I made before, it's about increasing your gym IQ.
Right.
And so I think, like so many people, yeah, I'm the type of people, I'm influenced by the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so I've seen these actors go through these tremendous transformations. And then I have to remind myself, yeah, and they have the best personal trainers in the business. They have, you know, chefs going through that. Marvel is paying to put them through their quote unquote Marvel system. So that way they can transform people that are, you know, average. I hate to use that because that makes it sound negative, but you know, so you take an average person and suddenly you're Paul Rudd's and you're Kumail Nanjiani's, and yeah, they're packing on 20 pounds of muscle. And the majority of that is because, you know, eating at the right time, eating the right thing at the right time. The Rock goes through, yeah, he probably has his carbs, you know, managed down to the gram as far as all the stuff to take into his body. And so, yeah, I do think that that can be a bit of a trap. And it is the biggest thing that I want to tell people is that it's not a sprint. It is a marathon.
Right.
But I'm at the gym this morning, and there's a gentleman there who is working out with one of the trainers. And so the trainer is there, and you know, I'm not staring, you know, but it's just, yeah, I'm noticing, I'm paying attention. And so, you know, the trainer gets in there and he shows him how to do a proper bench press. And so he's in there, but he's in one of the machines. And so the guy gets in there, the professional trainer does. And you can tell this guy knows what he is doing, you know, because he's in there and he's getting those reps banged out and his form is flawless. And so, of course, this is his job, you know, so naturally he's going to be well skilled in how to perform this bench press. And then the other gentleman, you know, so he swaps, the other gentleman gets into the station, and you can tell he is just struggling. You know, he's struggling because he's not there yet. But I know he's a new member, so it's kind of one of those things where I want to give him the amount of encouragement, you know, to go through and continue without, you know, interrupting his workout. But I wasn't certain if it was because, you know, the weight was too heavy, or maybe it was just he didn't have that mind-muscle connection yet that he's – you know, that he's slowly developing. And so it's a thing where you will get there over time, but yeah, it's going to take, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of hours. I know people don't want to hear that, but yeah, it's hundreds of hours of going through and pounding on your craft and learning rep after rep after rep to go through and get that mind connection that you need with those muscles to teach your muscles, hey, this is what I'm wanting you to do. And so, yeah, that it takes a lot of time. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who don't have the patience or they don't see the results quick enough, so they end up giving up on it. And so that's where I think people make the mistake, because they're looking for – they're basing their success strictly on the physical side of things. Yeah, well, I didn't see, you know, this increase in my arms, or I didn't see this increase in my chest. Yeah, but how did you feel whenever you came out of,
right,
of the exercise? You know, so again, to me, it's all three. Physical is certainly part of it. And yes, that is the part that probably develops the fastest, or at least that's one that creates the most tangible result. Because you can sit there and say, oh, yeah, my pants are looser and I feel better, you know, so I'm doing all, you know, this sort of stuff. So the physical is certainly part of it, but then I think there is the mental component to it as well, and that's where you're going through, you're studying, you're reading, you're figuring out what other people are doing. So there's that intellectual part of it as well, but then that third component that I think a lot of people don't talk about is the emotional component, is the, you know, mm-hmm. how you feel better, how, you know, I feel that since by going through and doing this and going through those struggles and going through that pain has made me a better person. Psychologists would refer to it as PTG, which is post-traumatic growth. So we go through, bad things happen to us, and so we can develop what they would call resistance 1.0. And resistance 1.0 is where something bad happens to you, and you go through it, you suffer from that bad part, and then you bounce back to where you were before. So that's resistance 1.0. Resistance 2.0, post-traumatic growth, is where the bad thing happens to you, and then you become better because of it. As much as I hate to bring it up, but I will, because, I mean, we're friends, we're family. 10 years ago, I went through a very bad divorce, and it broke me as a man, as a human, as an individual. It was not good. But then I bounced back from it, built and became stronger for it. And so as a result, now I look back on it and go, yeah, okay, boy, I had to go through that valley. But once I came out from the other side of it, came out of it stronger. And so the gym is the exact same way. By going through all this pain and all this sweat and all, you know, and it's so much pain and it hurts so much. But then as a result, you get better for it. And right. So what I have discovered with me personally is all of that pain, all of that growth, strangely enough, has softened me. It has softened my heart. It has made me more compassionate. It has made me more willing to step out and help someone who I think needs it. And so it's part of the reason why it has been an honor to come on here once a month and explain my story and explain why I do it. And mm-hmm. so it's one of those things where, man, I really hope that is the takeaway. I hope that people come away from this when they hear it and they say, oh, well, yeah, so it's not about, you know, having a I mean, it is. It's part of it is, you know, having that lower body fat percentage or, you know, so looking at yourself when you get out of the shower and going, hey, all right, you know, so things are starting to develop, you know, that sort of thing. That's all well and good. But at the same time, it's about that emotional component. And that's right. The part that I think is talked about the least. It's one of the things you don't hear about that, you know, nearly as much. And so for me to be able to come on here and tell, you know, my part of the story, that's you honor me by letting me come on and talk about it.
And you honor me by coming in and talking about it. I learned from you personally, and I know that other people are learning as well. So it's definitely well worth doing.
And it's one of those things. And once you get, I think you get to a point where once you do it so much, you get to a point where it just becomes part of your routine. Now it's just something that I do every single day, and I don't even think twice about it. I know how important it is for me, for my health. I know how important it is for my emotional well-being, and what really put that on display for me. So I've been doing this since 2014. You know, I still think I'm an amateur. I've still got a lot to learn. I'm not going into a gym thinking I know everything. You know, I'm constantly looking to dial in to find that routine. You know, so, and I'm always looking for new exercises to do to challenge myself. So I was going strong, and then what really laid this all out for me, as far as I knew how important it was to me in life, was when it got taken away from me because of COVID. And so, man, once that happened and once the gyms opened back up, I was like, man, it was hard to go back. It really was. It would have been easier to just go, I'm going to let it go. But I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. I knew it was something that was important to me. And so now it's a thing where it's part of my lifestyle. It's just part of what I do. So I've had people ask me, well, you know, when do you stop working out? And I don't. There right. is no table. You know, there is no timetable for me. I'm going to continue to do this until I can't do it anymore.
Same here. It's I'm in my 60s now, and part of my journey now is recognizing that there's a lot less time ahead of me than there is behind me. And with that comes the realization that, like for a lot of the stuff that I've gathered over the years, I don't have time to reread or rewatch a lot of this stuff, you know? So what am I doing holding on to it? And then, like, of all the things I love, there's not enough time to really give any of them my all. So what do I need to let go of? So I'm going through my life category by category. And with physical things, I gave up a lot so that I could focus on physical culture or bodybuilding or strength training or weightlifting or whatever you want to call it, because of all the things I've experimented with in my life, and there are a lot of them that were good. Like I used to love walking a lot. I used to love jogging and so forth. What I love the most is the working with the weights. So
right. Yeah,
it makes it simpler because then I can give up the other things. I enjoyed them. I looked at them again, and what I really want to do is what I'm doing. So I'm going to go till I can't go anymore with it.
I think probably the best analogy that I can give to that is that right now we are in a golden age of entertainment. The streaming wars are now in the full throat. Boy, they are battling out for your attention. And we've gotten to a point where there's too much stuff. There is too much stuff out there vying for my attention. And so
yeah.
I used to try to watch everything. It's impossible.
It's impossible
to watch everything. So instead it's like I've got to pick those key things that I'm willing to spend my time on. Because yes, you're absolutely right. There's only so much time that we have in a day. And, you know, when X amount of it is dedicated to sleep and X amount is dedicated to the job, and then you've got, you know, kids, and that lawn's not going to mow itself. So you have to decide what you want to go through and spend your time on. And so that's where, you know, I could look. Yeah, I could go and I could hang out at the bars and I could do that thing, but that holds no interest to me. And it's not going to improve myself. So instead,
right,
I'd rather read my books on philosophy, and I'd rather, you know, lift with the weights. And so that's just become part of my life. And because it is important to me, I've carved out time for it, much the same way that you've let go of a lot of other stuff. Yeah, you have to go through and find the time to put in when it's something that you tremendously care about.
And on that note, our conversation for today is finished. How can people contact you?
The way that you self-promote me on Facebook is the absolute best way that they can find me.
And they could also find you by Googling. And you are an excellent, not only instructor in physical culture, but you're an excellent creative individual whose mythology graphic novels are among my favorite on the planet. And I'm glad that in a couple of days we're going to be refocusing on one of them, and then the others will come in time a little later on. So I want to thank you for all the inspiration and joy you brought to my life and to the life of other people, and I'm looking forward to continuing our journey together.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Be well, and be well, everyone who's listening in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and are patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I think we're going to play Golden Bough today by Virginia Ackley. Thanks again, Ryan.
the golden bough at the turning of night she stood between.